wow, I'm gone for 1 week of high school football. Probably the first time in years not here to go to a game. Didn't even make any phone calls. Had other commitments. And I miss one of the best weeks I can remember in recent memory. So much happened. Legacy giving Bishop Gorman their closest game locally in a long, long time. The battle for Boulder Highway going down to the very end, the bitter end, you might say. And Green Valley, Las Vegas, same story there. We're going to get to all that talking about last week. First of all, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero. Always buckle up. Watch out for pedestrians and don't drive distracted.
Love it. I say that every week as soon as you say that, Adam.
Is that part of the script now?
It should be.
I think it is.
Yeah, you hit the I was at the Vegas Green Valley game, and that game, first half wasn't as good as it was advertised to be, but then the game was a classic 39-37 Green Valley. But everybody was buzzing about the Legacy Longhorns and what they did to Gorman. Didn't back down, recovered that onside kick to start the game. 48-yard field goal. Get the name of the kicker from my story. Great job to hit a 48-yard field goal in high school football, considering it's the hike, the hold, and then the kick. And to do so against Gorman when all eyes are on you, great job. And then Legacy goes with the squib kick and gets it. And so they get some great special teams play. Legacy doesn't back down. It plays a solid defense, and they really did a good job on first down containing Gorman. And they're up 3-0. They only trail 10-6 at halftime, 17-6, but they don't go away. Casey Hughes with a long run to make it 17-12, and then Gorman scores two touchdowns, 31-12. Legacy scores again. Either way, great effort by Legacy. Learned a few things. One is that if you show up to play Gorman and you're not afraid, good things could happen. And two, Gorman, even when they don't play their best, could still find a way to pound the ball like they did with Russell Booz to beat you. I don't know what other take you could have.
I got one take. The kicker's name, Julian Castro.
Heck of a job.
One of the better kickers I've seen in town, too, because I've seen this Legacy
and a
team
48-yarder.
Once.
We got some good kickers in town because the Green Valley kid hits a game winner.
Yeah, that's a big time. And also, now I'm going to have to look up someone else's names. I don't have it off the top of my head. But Canyon Springs is a kicker this year who's pretty decent, which is new because they've really struggled in special teams in the past. The takeaway from me is, if you're still, which I know everyone is, including you, reaching at straws for ways that teams could beat Gorman, their passing game is just, I don't think there's any sugarcoat. It's kind of a disaster right now. They're not throwing the ball well at all, and I think that is really accentuated in this loss. Look, I keep mentioning I've seen Legacy once this year, but I saw Legacy play Palo Verde, who never throws the ball. And when Palo Verde played them, they threw the ball like 18 times, completed I think 13 of them or something like that, just threw up and down the field on them. The Legacy secondary, not to say they haven't gotten better, because they probably have in the middle of the season, but this looked like a team that was really exploitable in the passing game. For Gorman not to be able to throw on them, to me, that's a big red flag, and maybe something that can keep some of these teams, you know, give some hope going forward.
Yeah, Palo scored, 48 against Legacy, and Gorman only put up 31 against Legacy.
Right, and I mean, that was all – Legacy played pretty good against the run in that game, all things considered, being it's Palo Verde, but they could not stop the pass. So if you would have asked me, I would have thought Gorman threw all over them, but I think you I actually don't have it in front of me, but I think Gorman's quarterback, Cunningham, only went 6 for 20 maybe and didn't throw for a lot of yards. So to me, that's what really stands out about this game.
Yeah, and Gorman, they'd played those 6 real tough national games, big marquee games to open the season. This is their first league play game, and I guess you could argue it took a while for those guys to realize that they were going to get a game like they did in these other 6 games. There had to be an emotional drop-off, naturally, no matter who you are, going from those 6 real big hype games to going to a game that you're supposed to win. We had them winning by 40-some points. And Gorman, they fell into that. It took a while for them to get that fire under their tail.
Yeah, that's something maybe looking back, we mentioned it, but we maybe should have pointed that out a little better. I mean, this was a tough scheduling spot. You're coming off all those national games. You have to go into playing against Nevada opponents, and it feels like usually just who they're playing, they have totally outmatched, but Legacy is really good this year. So I think looking back, you kind of knew Legacy would give them a pretty decent game.
And yeah, playing Monday morning quarterback against ourselves. So shout out to Legacy and those kids. Great effort across the board. I think they answered the question, who's the second best team in the Southwest? I know that Cimarron, Bonanza, Centennial, and Legacy appeared to be evenly matched.
Another really interesting division to throw in there. Dio's good, too.
Dio's good, but Centennial held the Jaquez Khalili kid, I think, 79 yards.
You mean Cimarron.
Cimarron, yeah. Cimarron held the Dio star tailback, who I think UNLV might have offered, by the way.
Smart.
I think, 18 carries for 79 yards.
And I know that was a big thing for them. Look, Cimarron, to me, we had questions about that we brought up, and I think we were right in doing that, but all the questions about Cimarron should be about their offense. That's the thing that's been inconsistent. Defensively, I mean, they've just pretty much shut down teams all year, so I wasn't shocked to see what they did to Khalili, although I know that's going to make me sound like I'm full of it because I was talking the kid up so much, but looking back, I mean, Cimarron's defense is no joke. It's one of the – if we're going just based off of defenses, I think they have the second-best defense behind Gorman in the division. I don't know if their offense is going to be good enough to get them the 2 seed, but it's not out of the question.
Well, Cimarron, the lone undefeated team in the Sunset region, and listen to this, Case Kiefer. They listened to our podcast before the DO game in the locker room where you and I were calling the Khalili kid – the best player on the field, yada, 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 get them fired up. So I'm glad we could do our job. That's what we're here for, to provide motivation.
It's good to see Cimarron back in the mix of things.
It is.
To me, I mean, like the first years I was here, Cimarron was like one of the top 5 teams. Great. I mean, physical defense. I think their offense is probably a little better back then. Now they're going to listen to the podcast because I keep trashing their offense, and they're going to be like, see what they're saying about you now? But, no, honestly, I like seeing Cimarron, prevalent again. And I think they're going to be a pain for anyone because of their defense.
I can't dispute that.
Yep. So I guess moving on to the other game that we wanted to touch on from last week, kind of more in depth, was the game you were at, Green Valley and Las Vegas. You already mentioned the first half wasn't as great, but
first half is kind of run of the mill. Vegas is up 17-3, seconds left in the half, and Jacob Littlefield, the junior linebacker for Vegas, who is as good as advertised, makes every tackle. What a great football player, because he's a little undersized. He's probably 5'10", and I mean, he makes every tackle. Kiefer, everywhere the ball is, this kid is absolutely legit. Gets banged up, needs to get walked off the field. First play, he's gone. Last play of the half, touchdown, Green Valley, 40 yards to Hernandez. 17-10, halftime score. And right then you kind of sense that it'd be a back-and-forth affair. And it came down that way to the end. Kudos to Green Valley for not giving up. Green Valley is the new – remember how back in the day we used to say Liberty was the second-half team, that they never played good in the first half? Well, this is Green Valley. Green Valley never turns it on until – they're down by like 2 touchdowns, and they need to rally to win.
I don't know. It's going to be real interesting then when they play Canyon Springs, because to me, Canyon Springs is that team. Every week we're either at the game or talk to Hunky. I guess it doesn't work this week because they played
Rancho.
Yeah. But literally every other game this week, they're like, yep, down 16-3 at halftime, couldn't move the ball. And then in the second half, it's like, yeah, we won 28-0 in the second half.
Yeah, well, then we'll just show up at halftime.
For Canyon and Green Valley,
which I believe is the last game of the league season.
That's some good scheduling.
Green Valley, you know, you think they're dead to rights, and then next thing you know, they just sling the ball around. Lopez passed the ball 49 times. which is always good when you could throw the rock 50 times in a high school game. Varner catches, Perkins catches, Chavez catches, Gio Hernandez catches, and they move the ball up and down the field with the best of them. And their defense, when the defense needed to, really rose to the occasion. I will say, and you're going to laugh at me when I say this, but I kind of like Vegas a lot. I even put on Twitter that I think they're the best team in the Sunrise region in the first half when they looked really, really good. Moreland is phenomenal and quick, bro. Quickest player on the field. Zane and Banks at wide receiver is very good. They've got some big guys up front. The quarterback is much improved. Last year when you saw Trevor Swenson, you had commented to me that, you know, you weren't as impressed as how I built the kid up to be. He's got some confidence now, some swagger. And
some weapons.
And some weapons. Listen, Vegas last year played 10 kids regularly that were sophomores. Those kids are growing a little bit. They're mature. They're bigger. They're faster. They should have arguably won this game. There were some plays that could have been ruled either way. I'm not taking anything away from Green Valley. Vegas had a few things uncharacteristically go wrong late. And it is what it is. They're going to regroup against Silverado this week. But shout out to Vegas and shout out to that Sunrise region because it's going to be fun, dude. Vegas, Green Valley, Canyon, Liberty, of course. And could I put Coronado in the mix? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, definitely. I think they can beat most. I think they can beat most of those teams.
If we have a,
so I could put Coronado in the mix.
If we have a final four in the Sunrise of Liberty, GV, Canyon, and Vegas, I think you could play that tournament four times and get four different winners.
See, I don't know. I'm still higher on Liberty than the rest. I don't disagree with you that still thinking Vegas is the best team in the division.
Okay. Let me give you this trivia question. Did you read a lot of stories from this past weekend?
The high school stories?
Yeah.
I read quite a few.
Okay, so you know what Tyler Newman did?
He, like, set the record for touchdown passes, right?
9 touchdown
passes? Exactly, yeah. You think, I mean, they're playing Del Sol, so there is that qualifier, but still. That's why I'm pretty high on Liberty. I feel like they can do everything. I think when you said I'm going to call you crazy, you meant both for Vegas being the best in the Sunrise and the division. I don't call you crazy for the division. Look, they went to Green Valley and lost by 1. There were some questionable calls that went against them from what I understand. The game easily could have swung the other way. It's a game where they play tomorrow.
Should have, yeah.
There's a game that's playing tomorrow. You might be picking – I mean – you don't know who to pick. It's basically a pick 'em on a neutral field to me.
A coin flip on a neutral
field. Yeah. So how easily could, and I think Canyon Springs is right in the mix too, equal with these teams. I think Canyon Springs has the best defense out of them. It seems like
Canyon
for sure.
Canyon Springs' problem is, are they going to be able to score?
Yeah, I could see that. But how easily could, I don't think it would be a big shock if Vegas turns around and beats Canyon and Canyon beats Green Valley. And then assuming they all went out, it's a 3-way tie. We don't know who wins because we're going to have to ask the
RJ to figure out the standings for us.
So the standings provider. Yeah. But, I mean, that's an easy scenario where Vegas still could somehow win the division. Okay.
I think in the playoffs, if Green Valley would play Liberty, I think Green Valley matches up real well against Liberty because they just throw the rock around so well. Green Valley, I think one of the reasons they struggled with Vegas is because Vegas is quick, bro. And I don't know if Green Valley isn't. It's that simple. They got good possession receivers. Varner, possession receiver. Perkins, nice athlete. He's a kicker. Hernandez, possession receiver. Chavez, possession receiver. Vegas has got guys that are going to stretch the field. And they got banged up, though. That game was hard hitting, bro. Oh, boy, there was some hitting going on. And there was almost a little brouhaha in the first quarter.
Between who? Players, hopefully?
Between
not someone else.
People on the line. But, yeah, between okay. Players. But it was very close. I thought I was going to have to take cover. Okay, let me give you this editorial comment here.
Right.
So Liberty goes, Delsel's bad, bro. I mean, the cupboard was bare for Gary Mackey when he got there. They get destroyed by Liberty. They're going to get destroyed by everybody until they play El Dorado. There was a kid from my church who goes to Del Sol, big kid. I'm like, hey, are you on the football team? He's no, I'm just going to wrestle. He goes, have you seen our football team? We're awful. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And he told me the wrestling team was going to take state. I just had to laugh because Green Valley's got the best wrestling team.
Liberty's pretty good, too, wrestling.
Yeah. Green Valley is Green Valley. Back-to-back state champs. Banner all Razors, right. Green Valley Gators. Okay, so El Dog, Del Sol, Rancho Valley, right? Four pretty awful teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
You play those guys in a four tournament like we talked about those other four teams. With the exception of Rancho, I think you get three different winners between Rancho, Del Sol. I mean, between Valley, El Dog, and Del Sol, right?
I was going to say two between Valley and El Dog. I think Valley is probably the – I'd pick Valley, though, if I had to pick a team.
Okay. I think the NIAA needs to have an emergency meeting and get those four teams shipped down to the lower bracket. I totally get that Valley has a magnet program. It can get kids over there. It's good in basketball every year. I always said during this realignment case that football needs to be handled separately. Kids are going to get hurt playing Del Sol, Rancho, El Dog. Those they don't have enough bodies to compete. They need to be in the lower division where they could have a chance to win. That football should always done separately. So if you're important and you're listening to this, get those four teams where they could have some fun. My humble opinion.
So it sounds about right to me. Does seem unfair to some of the matchups they have week after week. Before we move on to this week, one more game I wanted to touch on, the Thursday Night Lights game, Basic and Foothill. Man, I really thought Basic was going to get this one done. It looked like it was going to go to overtime, but Corey Fisher, game-winning field goal for the Falcons, and this could be big for playoff positioning. Kind of gives Foothill the leg up to get the three and maybe even the two. We're going to find out this week. They play Coronado, back-to-back huge games. But nonetheless, this was a big win for Foothill.
A big win for Foothill and a great job by Basic. This game was back and forth the whole time, and Basic really hung in there. Schofield and Johnson had great games. Johnson had, like, he could beat you, as we've talked about, throwing, running, or returning, and he was tough to tackle, and Doc Stater just gunned it around for Foothill, and they got the victory. Fisher with the big game-winning field goal, and he'd missed earlier in the game, so for him to mentally be able to get back in there and do it, great job. Perkins, Fisher, the kid from Legacy, good week for kickers. Love the battle for Boulder Highway, one of my favorite games, because it's really they hate each other.
Well, just for that, kind of for that night. I mean, at least the year I went, I did cover this game once, and they all kind of knew each other. They, like, a lot of them grew up together. It wasn't like they really hated each other. They just wanted to beat. They just really wanted to win.
Exactly.
And spoiler alert, I know I said that Foothill was going to have a chance for the two. Honestly, though, if I had to guess right now, I think Foothill and Basic are going to be the 3 and 4 from the
Southeast.
God, I get all the divisions messed up now. But even they're the 3 and 4. If I'm the 1 and 2 in the Northeast, I don't want to see either of these teams. I mean, if things break right, these teams could pull an upset in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm the 2, which we assume is going to be Coronado, do you want to play the 3 from over there?
Well, no, you don't want to do that either. I'm just saying that those playoff games are going to be really interesting. There's going to be some upsets.
There's going to be no easy out in those playoffs.
I think some higher seeds will win.
Lower seeds.
Well, 2-3. I think like some 3s will win, so that's a higher seed.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I'm showing my intelligence right now. It's going to be fun. The playoffs are going to be fun. It's going to be which teams are most prepared.
Yeah, for sure.
And go at it. Get your hats on. You ready for the picks?
Let's go. Let's do them. You start us out. You have them in front of you.
Okay. Silverado at Vegas. The question of the day is how is Vegas going to recover physically from Green Valley? It was a very physical game. Green Valley and Vegas, they slapped each other around pretty good. Littlefield played the whole second half hurt. Is he going to be back? Remember, Silverado is big, and they're going to hurt you as well, and they're going to try to control this clock and eke out a victory. But I tell you what, I love the Vegas speed, and I'm taking the kitty cats.
It's tough coming back from a loss like that against Green Valley. To me, Silverado's done some good things this year. Completely destroyed Valley last week. Gave a tough game to Canyon Springs. I think this is going to be really close. A lot closer than you think. I think Vegas is ultimately too good. But I'm going to say a little bit of a surprise, and it's less than a touchdown game.
Okay, I could agree with that.
For Las Vegas.
I really think Green Valley put a hurting on Vegas, and physically and then mentally losing that close game, the Vegas coaches are really going to have to do a good job this week getting their kids ready. Coronado at Foothill, arguably the battle for second place, assuming that Liberty wins out, which it looks like they will. Coronado, listen, there's no secret. There's certain teams Coronado doesn't match up against well. They don't have players that could, especially up front where they're extremely small. Foothill, not one of those teams. I know Foothill throws around with the best of them, but I think Coronado's defense could come up with a good game plan. I like the Cougars and maybe a bit of an upset depending on who you talk to. I really think this is a coin flip game, and I got Coronado with a 2-point win.
Yeah, I mean, at the least, this is a game for control of who gets the 2 seed. Last year, I think that this was kind of a hype game, and Coronado beat them pretty good. The teams are a lot different now, especially at Coronado's side. I kind of like this. I like what Coronado's done the last couple weeks. I know Liberty pulled away big at the end and got me the cover in our $5 bet, which, by the way, it'll be coming up. You had a good win this week. But as much as I'd like to disagree with you on this game, I think it's a coin flip. I said last week I think Coronado beats both Foothill and Basic. I can't back off of it now. I think Coronado's improving. I think that getting Foothill at this point in the season was big for them. I think they lose at the beginning of the year, but I think they'll win now.
I could agree. I really think, just to piggyback off you, that Coronado and Foothill are two teams that look awfully the same. Bonanza at Legacy. Legacy obviously had a game of all games against Gorman, and I think they use that to their advantage and that they come out with the full head of steam. And they hand it to Bonanza, double-digit victory. Give me the Longhorns.
Bonanza, I think, I think Bonanza will put up more of a fight than that. I guess I have to after last week. I might as well just get to the inevitable now. I gave you 15.5 points with Bonanza against Centennial. Centennial barely escaped. I think it was 16-14. Centennial got the win. So obviously Bonanza played them really tough. I think they're going to play Legacy pretty tough too. Maybe not that close, because Legacy, I think it's a done in the end. But all three of these first games I think are going to be close. I'm taking Legacy.
Okay. Cimarron at Gorman. Homecoming for the Gales. Cimarron's undefeated, and Gorman had that scare last week against Legacy. I really think Gorman comes out prepared, focused, and ready to make a statement that they are the team to beat, the leaders in the clubhouse, and nobody's going to come close to them. I have Gorman winning by 35.
I think that's about right, and I hate to after we doubted Cimarron last week, I hate to pile on here, but I think that Gorman, I think they're going to have a good week of practice after realizing, you know, hey, a few things could have gone differently. We could have got tripped up last week. I think they'll be more focused. I think that they are going to really take care of Cimarron in a big fashion. The key to me for Cimarron is just go in there with a positive mindset, do your best, see what comes out of it. But you can't – you always have this theory about teams after they play Gorman have this hangover where, oh, well, now we can't compete, and they play bad the next couple weeks, or at least the next week. That just can't happen with Cimarron. As we talked about, Cimarron in the running – for the 2 seed in the division. In the next 2 weeks, they have Centennial and Legacy. Those are two biggest games of the year. So just come out of the Gorman game as unscathed as you can. Still be positive about being 5-0 at this point. They're going to be 5-1 after this weekend. But 5-1 is nothing to scoff at. And those Centennial and Legacy games, you have to have those wins. So hopefully Cimarron can be at full strength, both mentally and physically, after facing Gorman.
Very good. Very well put. Clark at Motown. Shout out to those Mojave Rattlers. They beat Cheyenne. last week for the first time in school history. Two North Las Vegas schools. Cheyenne was kind of like the benchmark for North Las Vegas high school football. Mojave kind of the before in the day. How do you say it nicely? They weren't the benchmark.
And the anti-benchmark
the anti-
for a while.
Benchmark, yeah. And for them to get that W was something that's very special for them. So congratulations, fellas. With that said, here come the Chargers, and Mojave is needs to win to keep the two seed in a home playoff game. And I think they win.
That was taking me back, thinking of Mojave's old standing. I remember the first year I was here, you told me they were going to be one of the two or three worst teams. This is when I had a blank slate. I knew nothing about anything. And our media day that year was at Valley High School, and the Mojave kids rolled up. And let's just say the other teams kind of dwarfed them. I mean, they didn't look like exactly they were going to beat anyone up. But then the one kid was talking about how their only goal this year was the state championship. And I just remember thinking, oh, boy, this is not going to end well. And they lost, like, every game 60-0.
Yeah, a lot.
That's what I think about. Even though now Delgado's on this pretty good. I mean, they're 3-3 this year, so a little disappointing, but they had a great year last year. Even though everything's turned around then, now I still think about that moment when I think Mojave.
I love in the preseason, we talked to all these kids, and, you know, all 36 teams are like, we're going to go smack the other team in the mouth. We're thinking about getting rings. And I'm like, when does reality start, you know, to come in? I mean, is not all 36 teams are going to win. You know, and a lot of people are going to get smacked in the mouth.
I think it's a good mindset to have for an athlete. But at some point, I mean, if you've been that bad for so many years, like Mojave was for a while, like shouldn't – I got to think last year all the kids on that team had to have been proud of what they did. I think at some point you just got to be like, let's make our goal. Let's get to the playoffs, see what we can do there. Let's have a winning record. If you're coming off an 0-10 season, sorry, Rancho, next year, your goal should not be to win the state championship.
I mean, literally, I think if you're 0-10 and you're really, really bad and you're getting beat by 50 and 60 a game, shouldn't your goal be to, like, okay, why don't we try to get double-digit points in one game?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Let's just set
this up. Let's start, like, with an obtainable goal. Let's try to get two first downs on one drive. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Canyon Springs at Valley.
I picked Mojave, by the way. Oh, I went on a rant, never picked the game.
Canyon Springs at Valley. Canyon against Rancho and Valley in back-to-back weeks. Doesn't do much to prepare them for the meat of the schedule, but it helps them get healthy. It's a team that, you know, is banged up. Henderson, Luna out on defense. So Canyon gets healthy. They get a big victory. I have them winning by 50-plus.
Yeah, like you said, this doesn't prepare them necessarily, but I think it's exactly what you need. At the beginning of the year, if we would have had Hunky Cooper or one of these assistants write down, like, their 10 most important guys, and it goes beyond Luna and Henderson, those guys you mentioned, I think, like, every single one of them has an injury. So hopefully now they've got these two kind of not as tough weeks back-to-back. Hopefully they can use them to kind of rest up. Not push, I mean, the kids that are hurt not really have to push themselves too much. They need this because the next 2 weeks are Green Valley and Las Vegas, which obviously are going to determine a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. So I think this is a good two-week sort of vacation. I feel bad saying that, but Canyon Springs is going to win no matter what.
Spring Valley at Palo, just to let you know, the Palo Arbor game is November 8th. I'll take Palo. 39-12 in this game against Spring Valley.
Does that mean you're taking them against Arbor too?
I'm gonna have to tell you the week of the game. I mean, a lot could happen.
Well, why'd you just throw that in there? It sounded kind of strange. So just to let you know, it's November 8th. I'm taking Palo.
Well, because in my description on the picks, I mentioned how it appears Palo and Arbor won't be challenged until they play each other on the 8th.
That's
my way of saying that the league's down a little bit.
That's fair, but yeah, and Spring Valley's played some close games.
I'm all about fairness, Case.
Spring Valley's played some close games, so I don't think they're terrible, but I think Palo will beat them pretty easily. Sierra Vista's a little up this year, right? I mean, maybe. I'm reaching here, but who knows? You never know what can happen, but I don't see anything other than Palo beating Spring Valley pretty good.
Arborview Durango, Arborview.
Yeah, kind of sad. Durango's really, really tough year over there. I know you called it. I thought they might win a game or two, but I believe they're 0-5 right now. And about to be 0-6.
Bagels, yep. Okay, here I'm going to contradict myself for the first time this year. You do a great job of telling me when I go against myself all the time. I said that earlier in the year, I said five teams to look out for. Sierra Vista was one of those. I said they were going to take third over in the Northwest, which is still possible. They beat Durango last week. I also said Faith would be good. They won the league. I said DP, look at what DP's doing. They haven't lost yet. But they're at Shadow Ridge this week, and I'm going to take Shadow Ridge against Sierra. If you would have asked me last week, I probably would have took Sierra Vista. But Shadow was only losing to Palo by a few points entering the fourth quarter, and then they fell apart a little bit. And Shadow, from what I understand, is a pretty physical team. So I think they're going to win this game.
God, I think Shadow is the right side. I think they're probably the better team, but it is at Sierra Vista. I'm haunted by when I picked Sierra Vista, I think, to beat Desert Oasis, and they lost like 50-12 or something ridiculous. This is a tough one. I guess just to be opposite, I'll go Sierra Vista, but that's probably another loss. I'm just letting you build your win total. But I mean, Sierra Vista is better this year than they've been in a long time.
I've been there for a Sierra Vista game. They can play.
They're 2-3, and they played Foothill pretty close, right?
It was close for a while.
Okay, 2-3. They only lost by 13 to Foothill. Nonetheless, I think they're playing better than they have in years. I mean, 6 or 7 years since the last time they made the playoffs. I think it speaks to just sometimes you just need a shake up, kind of a change in culture. I think John Voss has done a good job over there for what he has so far. I'm gonna go with them. I've talked myself into it a little bit. I think they'll be able to run the ball and maybe win a shootout.
Voss has done a good job. Doesn't have many reserves, but the guys he have out there are great. Next game gonna be a good one. DO at Centennial. Centennial, you had last week beating Bonanza by 15.5. They scored only 16, still won. And Centennial's got some good younger kids, and they're winning when it counts. And they always beat DO in close games. If you remember those playoff games a few years back-to-back, I got Centennial winning a close one.
Why is Centennial not scoring? How do they not score any more points? What's going
what about
on
Bonanza?
Over there?
Give credit to
I mean,
Bonanza.
Bonanza's good, but still they got...
don't discount Bonanza!
No, I didn't. I just almost picked Bonanza this week, didn't I? I said that they could be... I said they're going to be play a lot closer. I just... there was one other game this year. You were at the Centennial game. They didn't... Or the Palo Verde game. I think they only scored like 10 in that game or something too, right? Maybe 14.
That was a win game, though. That doesn't count.
Okay. Well, still, I thought that... I thought Worthington would score 14 points alone per game this year.
It's tough when everybody keys on the kid.
Or 12 per year. That is true. I still think he's great, but I'm going upset special here. I'm going Desert Oasis, even though they've I think I've picked Desert Oasis wrong in every single game this year. I started out infamously picking him against Del Sol. Then I picked Sierra Vista to beat him. And who'd they play last week? Whoever they played
Cimarron.
Cimarron, of course, I picked them to win. I can't pick a Desert Oasis game right. So this probably means Centennial is a cinch, but I think that this is like a couple years ago when they met in the playoffs 2 years in a row. They were both close games. The teams were pretty evenly matched. I think it's back to that, and I think Desert Oasis pulls off a slight upset.
Well, I agree with you. No, I disagree with you. I get Centennial.
All right.
Faith Lutheran Cheyenne. Faith wins this week. They get a share of the Sunset Division 1A title. Not bad for the Crusaders, who I think have won now 6 in a row. Cheyenne, they're 2-1 in the league, tied with Mojave for second. And they nearly beat Mojave. They were up 8-0 in the second half. This is a game last year Cheyenne would have killed them, but Faith is the team to beat this year. I have Faith winning by 2 scores.
Yeah, can't do it. Can't go Cheyenne. I got Faith Lutheran.
All right. Pahrump Valley at Western.
Finally, one game I picked right last week and you picked wrong. And you haven't been gloating near enough. You've been destroying me. But I told you that was absolutely insane that you had Perump beating a Faith Lutheran.
Yeah, I apologize. Listen, I know Perump with Segura, the quarterback, the senior, is improved. I got some bad information a few times on Perump, and it's been biting me the rest of the way.
They've been competitive, though.
They've been competitive. Faith was up 21-6 in this game, 31-6, actually.
Yeah, it was an easy win for Faith, almost as easy as it's going to be for Perump to beat Western.
Yeah. Okay. Moapa at Virgin, the Hammer game. You've been to the Hammer game before. I feel like you're our Hammer game insider.
That's true. I have been there. I will say, though, I think that the teams were less evenly matched the year I went there. Not that they're evenly matched this year. I think Moapa is the best team in the D1A, but you could make a case that Virgin Valley is, what, 3?
Well, I mean, they only lost to DP last week by, what, 2?
Yeah, I mean, they played a great game with DP. We should talk a little bit about that game. We missed out. That was a huge game last week. Anything you took away?
I didn't even read the story yet. I have no
clue.
All right,
well, there goes for that. I mean, basically, that was kind of the game to see who was going to be the second best team. Desert Pines comes away with a close win. God, tough. After Virgin Valley was just beating up on all these teams, now they got to play DP and Moapa back-to-back. I like Moapa, but like I said, it's the Hammer game. Anything can happen in the Hammer game. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm taking Moapa.
I'm taking Moapa, too, but I'm only taking them by 4 points. I think that Virgin Valley is has got some good players, and I'm telling you right now, if I'm Mojave, I am super nervous because they're either going to play Moapa, Virgin, or Desert Pines in the first round of the playoffs, and I think all three of those schools have a great chance of beating Mojave. In fact, Virgin only had the overtime win at Faith. So Virgin's a good team. I think that if Virgin could keep its head up after losing to DP and maybe losing to Moapa, I think it could make a little bit of a playoff run. Virgin's good. It's just you can't pick against Moapa Valley. They're Gorman of that division.
They are. And just looked it up and read Paul De Los Santos's story from that game. Shout out to Paul helping us out on the Friday nights. Virgin Valley led at halftime, really close game, but here's what stands out going in against Moapa. Moapa can throw the ball a little bit this year, and Iquan Corsi last week, 20 for 33 for 308 yards and 5 touchdowns. So Virgin Valley's passing defense really, really struggled. I think Moapa, we know how good their coaching staff is. Virgin Valley, great coaching staff, too. Look at what they've done in 2 years. I think there's no real advantage either way. I think they're both sharp staffs, but I think Moapa is going to have a way to exploit that this year. Maybe they don't in past years, but I think Moapa will throw the ball well enough to beat him.
Yeah, and I remember when Sawyers, of course, was on the Vegas High staff, so he learned from the best over there, and I really think that Moapa, Virgin, and DP are all going to be alive in the final four of the Division 1A when the playoffs comes, which, by the way, there's just 2 more weeks this week and next week in the Division 1A.
And then the playoffs start.
So could you believe that, like, Western season will be over in 2 weeks?
Mercifully.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God.
Desert Pines, obviously going to be prominently featured in that playoff discussion. After, of course, they totally stomp, quote, your Cowboys this week. Not going to be close.
Not going to be close. I agree with you. Right. Desert Pines has got some athletes that could play. We agree. Next game, Sunrise at Boulder. Boulder needs to win. Both teams need to win to keep their playoff hopes alive.
I think Boulder's going to do it. I feel kind of bad for Sunrise. They've played some – I think they ended up losing. It wasn't that close last week, but they've played some pretty close games. Of course, we keep talking about they led Moapa. They really wanted to get that second win this year. Felt like they had the team to do it, but I just don't see it coming with Boulder and Virgin left. I think the trip to Boulder is a little tough. Boulder wins at home.
All right. Green Valley.
You never picked it.
Oh, I got Boulder as well.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Green Valley at Rancho.
The only question is who has the best game for Green Valley?
Liberty at El Dorado.
Liberty. Who has the best game for Liberty? I think you can't go with Newman. Can Newman break his own record another for another week? I think El Dorado played okay defense against some teams, so probably not.
I hope he doesn't. Okay, and Basic at Del Sol.
Wow, did you just save the last three biggest blowouts for last? Sometimes you haven't picked any of them. Maybe that means you. So you're taking Del Sol, I'll take Basic.
No.
I haven't heard you pick any of them, so I'm guessing you're picking Del Sol, El Dorado, and Rancho.
No, I'm taking Liberty, Basic, and the Gators.
Maybe you should just pick the other three to let me get back in the race. It'd be more interesting for our readers for the rest of the year.
Let me ask you this question before we go. Why do you think the Green Valley people think I hate them? Do I hate Green Valley?
No, but
how many times do I say shout out to Green Valley?
Hey, last
credit to those kids at Green Valley.
I think last year you did hate Green Valley.
I mean, I went to shout.
I think last year you said they were like a borderline playoff team and they won the division. This year I don't think you hate them, but you have picked against them a little bit more than anyone else in town.
I picked them to beat Basha. They lost. I picked against them against Coronado. Coronado won. Good job.
Yeah,
Brad.
No, that was a great job by you, but I think you're probably the only person that had that. Yeah, it's good for you.
Because I'm the expert.
No, it's good for you, but you're asking me why they hate you. They can't believe you picked against them.
I picked against them against Paolo. They won in overtime by one. I picked against them against Vegas. They won on a last second field
goal. Wow, you just did air quotes for one, and you wonder why they hate you. Still, that's three times you've picked against them. That's quite a lot. I guess I think I've picked against them twice.
I mean, two of those games I picked against them three times. They lost one, and two of the games they've won by a combined 3 points.
They're just fired up over there. What can you say?
So, hey, if I'm the motivation, Reno football better not listen to our UNLV show.
If Green Valley thinks they hate you, what does Basic think? I don't think you've picked Basic to win a game in 4 years.
No, I picked them this week against Del Sol.
Barely.
Okay, could you imagine? You know, I was giving you the scenario at the end of the Green Valley game.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the day when a local team does beat Gorman and say I'm covering the game?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That'll be interesting.
All right. We'll talk to you guys.
A few years away.
Next week. Love you, everybody.